to be sensitive and mindful. I don't want to muddy the branch. I used to hate it when some of those bigger boys would get up in front of me in the branch trying to find crawfish. I couldn't find anything when they muddied the branch. And I certainly don't want to muddy the branch this morning. Amen. What truth? Not a sermon, but a message. Both messages from the Lord. Amen. And thank the Lord for His truth. Amen. I wish I could do some of my members that way, just to make sure. But oh Lord, here. I tell you what, having to preach after Brother Seyfried, that's about enough to take a man's joy. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you missed yesterday. But turn with us to the book of Philippians again this morning. The book of Philippians. We tried to introduce this book yesterday from chapter 4, verse 4, where Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." That verse we've used as a springboard. It gives us an entrance into the book. It points to us the source of joy. It's in the Lord. There's an attitude in that verse. There's an action in that verse. And there's an atmosphere in that verse. We tried to meditate a little bit yesterday about the source of joy. I remind you, we're not talking about happiness. Happiness is something that you pursue. But joy is someone that you possess. Happiness is something you have to strive for and fight for and work for and even do for. But joy, on the other hand, is someone and something that will work in you and will work out of you and will work you up. This little book of Philippians written to that church at Philippi, I believe probably Paul's most favorite church that he founded. I believe it's because those at Philippi did exhibit and did express and did enjoy the joy of the Lord. It's not that they didn't have some trouble. It's not that they didn't have some disunity and all that, but they knew joy and they enjoyed joy. You know, you really can't enjoy Oreo cookies or chocolate chip cookies without a good glass of milk. They had some of them cookies last night at Vacation Bible School, but the Kool-Aid just didn't do it justice. But you know, you can switch over to skim milk and 1%, and that doesn't do them justice either. And if you ever get switched and converted, and I guess my wife's done that, at our house, and then you ever go back to good old whole milk, you sometimes think, man, that's too rich. Man, that stuff's too thick. You get used to settling for less than the best. Right. And oh my, I'm afraid, as we've already heard in the last few moments, we're settling for less in our pulpits, and we're settling for less in our churches, and we're settling for less than the joy of the Lord. I remind you this morning, our Lord Himself preached that you and I might have joy. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you might have joy, and that your joy might be full." He preached that we'd have joy. He prayed that we'd have joy. He promised that we'd have joy. Oh my, there's more to this thing of serving the Lord than enduring. There is this thing of enjoying joy. I trust you saved this morning on a Tuesday morning in Bible conference. You can be saved and have joy and not enjoy joy. But oh my, this little book of Philippians is about, I do believe, about enjoying joy. And for a moment or two this morning, I want us to say a word about the spirit of joy. the spirit of joy. Follow along with me in your Bibles in Philippians 1:1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even it is meant for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And the Lord, for his name's sake, will bless his good word this morning. In these verses, I believe we get an insight, a picture, an x-ray of the spirit of joy. I want to tell you, if you truly have joy and are enjoying joy, there'll be some identifying marks to your spirit and to your life this morning. And the first is those that have a spirit of joy, they have a serving spirit. And thank God we've already heard about that this morning. And I can say amen at everything Brother Snyder has already said. Those that enjoy joy, those that know the joy of the Lord, they have a serving attitude. They have a serving spirit. And do you know how the book begins? Paul doesn't say Paul an apostle. He could have said that. He had that right. He had that authority. God ordained him to be that. But no. Paul doesn't say, hey, it's me, I'm the apostle. But Paul says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. Yeah. It's literally the word for slave. It's literally the word for a bond slave. It's the lowest form of a slave. It's the lowest form of a servant. It's not the fellow that's attending to the king. It's not the fellow that's tending to the governor. It's not the fellow that's serving in other capacities. But no, the bond servant is the lowest on the ladder. I mean, he's the lowest of the rungs of the ladder. And Paul says, oh my, I'm simply a servant, a slave, a bond slave of the Lord. I remind you, you become a slave in some simple ways. You become a slave sometimes by birth. Slaves birth slaves. Sometimes an individual would become a slave by debt. They would get into poverty and debt. Sometimes a person would become a slave by conquest. A conquering king would come through and conquer the kingdom, and all would be declared slaves. Then a person could become a slave by choice. And I remind you spiritually, that's why every last one of us born slaves to sin. Slaves to sin by birth, slaves to sin by conquest, slaves to sin by debt, and slaves to sin by choice. Right. And a person receives freedom and enjoys freedom in a similar way. It's possible to overthrow the master. It's possible maybe to overthrow the conqueror. Or it's possible to maybe to escape the master. It's possible even to maybe to earn or buy you freedom. And once again, I remind you spiritually, you and I can do none of those. You and I cannot escape our taskmaster called sin or Satan. You and I couldn't buy a way out of our slavery to sin and Satan. But oh my, there is another way to enjoy freedom. That's by being bought by another, and freedom being given, and freedom being granted. And thank God, hallelujah, blessed be the name of God, for the day God came to where I was, and he had bought me and purchased me and gave me my freedom that day. And then slave, if he so chose, could recognize there's never been a master as good to me as you are. And a slave could then choose to commit the rest of his life wholly and solely and fully to that master. And they'd take him out, as we see in Exodus 21. And there he would become a bond slave. And they'd take that ear up beside that doorpost publicly. And they'd bore that ear. It was not just a sign of ownership, although it was. It was also a sign of submission. That slave says, oh my, I've been set free, but I just want to be free to serve my master and to serve my Lord. Oh my, that's the view Paul has. The reason Paul enjoys joy, even in the house arrest, chained to Roman guard 24-7, he realized that he's been bought lock, stock, and barrel by the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And Paul, as a slave, as a servant, has yielded everything unto the Lord. And oh my, hear me this morning. If you ever enjoy joy, hey, if you ever enjoy church, if you ever do more than endure church, if you ever do more than endure sermons, if you ever do more than preach sermons or teach Sunday school lessons, you must have a spirit of service in your heart and in your soul. Amen. And a servant, I remind you, his view of things is a view of stewardship, not ownership. His view is one of stewardship, not ownership. Oh my, the steward is free to serve at the pleasure and the will of the master. Oh my, the steward, the slave, recognizes he owns nothing. I tell you, it's ownership. It's with an ownership that brings a burden. Those folks that own their own business, I tell you why they stay late when everybody else has gone home and stay up late and work long after everybody else has left and get up before everybody else gets in there. That burden of ownership is upon them. But if you're just the steward, all that's required, all that's expected of you is just to be faithful. And oh my, if you want to be free this morning, and if you want to enjoy joy this morning, see and realize this morning that God is the owner of the all, and all he expects of you and me are to be faithful stewards in his kingdom. I'm talking about the spirit of a servant. His view is that of stewardship, not ownership. His view is that of serving, not being served. No servant works all day out in the field, the Word of God tells us. And then comes in to the house, comes in to the master's house. And then serves the master, and the master says, why, you've done a wonderful thing. You've done a commendable thing. No, the master says, you've done your duty. And oh my, the reason a lot of people in our churches today are just having to settle for mere happiness, if it's even called that, and I doubt even if it can even be called that, is because many have the mentality and the idea that they're to be served instead of to serve others. Oh my, you'll never know joy. You'll never enjoy joy apart from the spirit of a servant to serve others instead of being served. Because you see, when you're living for happiness, and when you're living for self, you, yourself, oh my, when your focus is yourself, when things don't go the way you think they ought to go, when the circumstances are not the way you think they ought to be, there'll be no joy there. But those that know joy and experience joy, they've got this spirit of service, this spirit of a servant. And let me say, the spirit of a servant is one who lives to please the master. Yeah. Who lives simply to please the master. And the Lord gave a wonderful parable about it in Matthew 25. That parable about the talents. And you know, he gave five to one, he gave two to the other, and he gave one to the one servant. And you know the story when the master came back and when the accounting day came there. That one with the one talent, remember, he had gone and he'd hid away the talent, and he brought the talent back. And the master said, "Thou wicked servant." Now I'll remind you this morning, don't have time to preach it, not going to preach it. I'll remind you, there's more to that passage than the amount. There's more to that passage than the amount. The amount's involved, I know. But I remind you, God didn't give that one servant five talents. Or rather, the master didn't give that servant more than one talent, because he knew he couldn't handle more than one talent. But if you read the text, go home and read it this afternoon. He came back and he offered a lame excuse. He said, "I knew you were a hard master. And I knew you reaped where you didn't sow. And you strawed where all of that, oh my." Remember what the master said. He said, "Oh my, if you really believed I was a hard master, and if you really, really believed, and you really, really knew that I reaped where I didn't sow, I tell you what you would have done. You'd have gone off and you'd brought my talent back with usury." That tells me that it was the attitude of that servant that was out of shape. That tells me that the master was more concerned about the attitude than he was the amount. I don't know, maybe he's been out of shape. That other fella got five and the other fella got two and he got one, but oh my, he did not have the attitude of a servant. You see, if you have the attitude and the position of a servant this morning, whether he gives you five, whether he gives you two, whether he gives you one, your objective, your desire is to please the master. You know what that does? That elevates you 10 million worlds beyond happiness. That puts you in the realm of joy that God himself will be pleased. Oh my, the spirit of joy is a spirit of service. You may say, "Well, preacher, I've got that." Well, I can tell you this morning how to know for certain whether or not you truly have the spirit of a servant. I can tell you a 100% proof test you can take to determine this morning whether or not you truly are a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. You truly view yourself as a servant. It's a simple, simple test. It's this. How do you react when somebody treats you like one? How do you react when somebody treats you like a bond slave? How do you react when somebody treats you like a servant? That reveals whether or not you've got the spirit of service. That reveals whether or not you've got the spirit of a true, true servant. Oh my, God help us. It's easy to say, "Oh yeah, I'm a servant and I'm a servant of the Lord." It's one thing to proclaim it. It's another thing to take that position. But hear me this morning, till you and I take that position, the grace and the peace that he mentions in verse 2 and the joy that he mentions throughout the book will never be ours. Oh my, the Moravians have a wonderful missionary emblem. It is of an ox standing between a plow on one side and an altar on the other side, and the caption underneath is, "Ready for either." Ready for either. I'll tell you why Paul enjoyed joy. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ." Paul said, "Whether I die, whether I live, doesn't matter. That Christ is pleased, that Christ is glorified, that Christ is honored is all that matters." You want to know why this morning so many folks in our churches are miserable, don't know the joy of the Lord? It's because they refuse to become the servant of the Lord that we've already heard about this morning. In fact, this morning, let me say it this way. Till you get out of 221 and until you get into 121, you're going to have to be satisfied with a little happiness at best. You'll never know joy till you get out of 221. You say, "What does 221 say, preacher?" Well, let's look and see what 221 says. "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ, Oh, what's Paul saying, 121? It's that spirit of a bondslave. It's that spirit of a servant. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I'm talking about the spirit of joy. It is the spirit of a servant. It is a servant spirit. Number two, in verse 3, it is a thankful spirit. It is a thankful spirit. I'll tell you, the attitude of gratitude, if you please, the way we sometimes say it, ever marked the life of Paul, and it always showed up in the writings of Paul. He was ever thanking God for them. And it's amazing. He's thanking God for some of the most contrarious people at times, but he's ever thanking God for them. In fact, the Latin name for Paul means small. And Paul said, I'm the least of the servants, and I'm the chiefest of the sinners, because Paul realized he didn't have any right. He didn't deserve. He didn't merit to be saved. He didn't merit to be in the family of God. He didn't merit to be an apostle. Why, my Lord, Paul realized he didn't even merit being a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he is just thankful God came that day and met him on the road to Damascus. And because of that, he ever thanked God for God and the saints of God. He had a thankful spirit. Look here in this letter. He's thanking God for them. He's thanking God for those saints down there at Philippi. He's thanking God for their support of the gospel there in verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. You say, well, now, preacher, anybody can thank God for that. I want you to note in verses 12, 13, and 14, he's a thanking God for that chain. Hey, anybody can thank God for the collection. Anybody can thank God for the offering that was sent. But he's a thanking God. He's a wearing a chain for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look here, he said, but I would ye so understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. He's even thankful for the chain. Hear me this morning. If you're just living to be happy, if you're just living for the circumstances to be the way you want to be, you'll miss out on joy. And when the circumstances aren't the way you want them to be, you'll not have joy. But if you realize God is sovereign and has you where you need to be, you can even thank God for the chains that you bear. And that's the spirit of joy. It is a thankful spirit. Could I say right quick, it's also an interceding spirit. An interceding spirit there in verse 4. Always, in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy. He did not view praying for them as a burden. Now this is amazing. He's the one in jail. He's the one under house arrest. He's the one that doesn't have freedom. He's the one that is often abused. Many of these soldiers are going to come to Christ. And no doubt many of them did come to Christ. And no doubt there's a lot of days that on one end of the chain the preacher was a preaching, and on the other end of the chain that soldier, now a saint in Christ, was receiving the word of God. But you can mark it down. There's a lot of days the fella on the other end of that chain wasn't interested in hearing the gospel, wasn't interested in hearing about Christ or the good things of God. And there's a lot of days, the days were no doubt rough for Paul. But oh my, in the midst of all that, there on his prayer list, instead of Paul saying, God, would you have somebody pray for me? Paul's on his face praying for them. I can't, oh my Lord God Almighty, can you imagine what he was doing to old hard-hearted, hellish Roman soldier that over in the corner of a cell, and the man of God was saying, oh God, you died for this man. Oh God, you love this man. Oh God, would you help me love this man? Don't you know that praying spirit caused joy to swell up in Paul and sustain him in the midst of his journey? You see, a spirit of joy is an interceding spirit where you put others before yourself. Or you put others. In fact, Paul's going to get to it in plain language in chapter 2, whether we get there or not. Oh my, it is an interceding spirit where Paul is ever praying, always in every prayer. See, the person who is self-centered, the person who is unconcerned about others and Christ, will have to settle for happiness at best if they get a hold of any of that. Because it's only the person has the spirit of intercession that's going to enjoy joy. I want to say one more time this morning. If you're saved, you have the joy of the Lord in your heart and in your life, because joy is in a person. But I want to tell you this morning, everybody here is not enjoying joy. Everybody that's saved is not enjoying Jesus this morning. Everybody that's saved is not enjoying joy, because far too many believers today, preachers and everybody else, are self-centered instead of Savior and other-centered. The spirit of joy, it is an interceding spirit. Now, I want to say to you, I realize what I'm preaching just doesn't happen naturally. It happens supernaturally. Because see, down there in verse 7, God puts them in Paul's heart. See, they're out of sight, but they're not out of mind. Because the good Holy Ghost has put them in his heart. He says, even it is meant for me to think this of you all. I'll tell you, that wasn't natural. I'll tell you, kneeling in a cell, kneeling in some house somewhere, praying for a man on the other end of the chain that has just beaten you, that has just abused you. I'll tell you, that ain't natural to pray for them at all. I'll tell you, that ain't anything about the spiritual life that is natural. It is supernatural, supernatural. And God put that in the heart of Paul, and Paul began to pray. And even with a chain on his hand, joy, joy, joy sprang up in his heart and in his soul. And the spirit of joy is an interceding spirit. Right quick in verse 6, it is a confident spirit. See, we're talking about something a million miles above happiness. Circumstances influence happiness, but joy influences circumstances. Joy doesn't always change the location. Joy doesn't even always change the atmosphere. But joy sure enough does always change the attitude. Oh yes. Notice this covenant spirit, this spirit of joy. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, you read these four chapters, just 104 verses, you'll not find one, you'll not even find the shadow of defeatism. You'll not even find the shadow of discouragement or self-pity or bitterness in Paul. No, he has confidence in God and in the sovereign work and in the sovereign plan of God. Being confident, absolutely persuaded. Being confident, absolutely persuaded. persuaded of this thing. What thing? What thing? He tells us that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Hear me this morning. Hear me. Paul's covenants was not based on his circumstance. Paul's covenants wasn't based on whether that crowd at Philippi was going to pray and send another offering. Paul's covenants wasn't based on Paul. Paul's covenants was based on God. Paul's covenants was founded and grounded in the Lord God Almighty. He was covenant in God. He was covenant in the construction of God. God was working. God was building. He was confident in the course of God. I'll tell you, Paul didn't go over to Macedonia by mistake in the first place. Paul didn't happen along to Philippi by accident in the first place. Paul didn't even wind up on the house arrest in Rome by chance. No, that was the course of God for his life. Paul is covenant in God, his work, what he's doing, his construction, what he's building into his life, and the course, the path that God has for him. Why, Paul's even covenant in the choices of God. If God chooses a chain for Paul, Paul knows a chain's right for me. If God knows I need to be in jail on the end of a chain with a Roman soldier, I need to be on the chain at the end of a Roman soldier. Paul's covenant spirit enabled joy to spring up in his heart and in his life. Now, hear me this morning. I realize much of what's been said is applied primarily maybe to preachers, secondarily to others, but hear me this morning, I don't care who you are. If you are not confident in what God is doing in your life today, you'll not enjoy joy. If you're not confident in what God is doing in your life, it is easy to get bitter. It is easy to get revengeful. It is easy to get hateful. See, that's why that crowd, that's why down here in verse 15, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strive. Now listen, I'm not throwing rocks. My Lord, I'm Brother Allen, I'm intimidated having to preach behind Brother Rick. I'll tell you, if Apostle Paul were to come to Burke County and go to pastor, I'd be intimidated. It's easy to understand why these men would be intimidated by the great Apostle Paul. But oh my, I tell you what the root of it really, 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 really was. It's not that they were upset what God was doing in Paul. It's that they were upset and didn't agree with what God was doing in them. That's why if God puts that other fellow in that other church, you might get out of shape. Yeah. And bless your heart, if you don't get that Sunday school class, you get another one, you're liable to get bent out of shape. Or if that new couple that comes to the church, they start going to that other school Sunday school class, and instead of your Sunday school class, you're liable to get bent out of shape. And if God saves somebody else somewhere else instead of your church, hey, I know, bless God, I know some grandmas that have got bent out of shape because their grandyoungers didn't get saved in the service when they were there. Oh my God, help us until you and I get covenant in God and what God is doing. We'll get bitter, we'll get petty, we'll get childish. But here Paul is in prison, in jail, chained a soldier, but he's covenant in God, and whatever comes, blessed be the name of God. That's the spirit of joy. That's the spirit of joy. He's just rejoicing in what God was doing, knowing God was working, knowing God was doing right. Say, so look here at chapter 2, verse 13. Here's how I know that's his attitude. He says, chapter 2, verse 13, it is God which worketh in you both to will to do his good pleasure. I hadn't even thought of mentioning this. And I thank the Lord for Chad and Nikki. And I passed him a little while. I want to tell you, my God's big enough. If he doesn't want an extra 18th chromosome to be on the scene, it'll not be on the scene. And if he doesn't want cancer, us cancer cell to pop up in you, he can keep a cancer cell from popping up in you. And if he wants things in your world to come apart at the seams, they'll come apart at the seams. And if he wants everything to stay solid, it'll stay solid. Oh my, that's the spirit of confidence we got to have. And when you get that, joy of the Lord can be yours. Amen. Hey, I ain't talking about a fella that's enjoying the Bible conference. I'm not talking about a fellow that's in a five-star hotel. No, here he is, locked up, chained up, hidden away, deserted by many, denied by many, but oh my, he's got the joy of the Lord. Well, he's a million miles above happiness. Chain or no chain, he's enjoying God and the good things of God. He's confident in God, knowing God's working according to his plan. Knowing God's working according to his power, and knowing God is working according to his purpose. See, here's the covenant spirit I believe Paul had. Down here in Rome, locked up, chained away. I believe this is the simple attitude Paul had. God ain't ever made a mistake. He ain't gonna start with me now. I don't know who you are this morning. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but God ain't ever made a mistake. He ain't going to start with you now. You have your covenant. You can be absolutely persuaded that God is God and God is right. And when you get that attitude in spirit, joy, joy, joy will be yours. Oh my, the spirit of joy, the spirit of joy. Let me mention one last one and I'm done. I find this spirit of joy in this little epistle of Philippians. It is a commending spirit. There's nothing critical here. Even when Paul names some names, even when Paul is trying to straighten some things out, he's doing it in love. He's doing it by commending them to God. There, nothing critical. And I remind you, no one's perfect. This church at Philippi wasn't perfect. This church wasn't without its problems. Got some disunity. These two women, will not get to them this week. They had problems. Oh no, all churches fall short. And bless your heart, all preachers fall short. And doubly bless your heart, all church members fall short. That crowd at Philippi had fallen short. Now, I want to tell you, they had done a whole lot better than a lot of the rest of them. They sent a missionary offering when nobody else even sent up a prayer. They sacrificed when a lot of them said, well, forget him. Oh, they'd done a lot of things right. Had a few problems. You don't find Paul nitpicking and picking that out and holding that up in front of them. No, no, no. He has a commending spirit, because the spirit of joy is a commending spirit that will create within us a desire to uplift and a desire to exalt and an uplift, and rather a desire to uplift and uphold that which is best in those that are around us. I mean, that's the focus in verse 3 back here in chapter 1. That's the focus. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He's focusing on the good things. He's focusing on those commendable things. In fact, look here. He's not focusing on that crowd that's cutting his guts out. He's not focusing on that crowd that's jealous. He's not focusing on that crowd that's seeking to add to his bonds. He's just focusing on Christ, rejoicing in Christ, thanking God for God being God, working his plan, and working in the lives of that church back at Philippi. Oh, God, help us to get a commending spirit. I'm reminded there's enough stuff outside these walls to tear us down without our coming together and tearing each other down. Oh my, and listen. People with a spirit of joy don't go around with a chip on their shoulder. hey, you can tell. I got sense enough. I ain't got a lot, but I got sense enough to know. My people know if I ever get in the pulpit with a chip on my shoulder. And bless your heart, the preacher knows if you sit in the pew with a chip on your shoulder. And your young'uns know it too. And your grand young'uns know it too. I'll tell you, the spirit of joy will become a commending spirit, where you and I won't carry around a bunch of grudges, and we won't carry around a bunch of faults. Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. That tells me it was positive. That tells me it was a commending memory. Oh my, it's not that he didn't have some things he could have brought up, but he didn't bring those things up. His eyes was on God. He wanted to see God work in them as God was working in him. Oh my. I know a lot of people this morning, like Brother Rick mentioned Dr. House a while ago. I know a lot of people this morning ought to do what Dr. House recommends doing. A lot of people just ought to build a bridge and get over some things and go on down the river with God. Amen. See, as one man said, some people want to hunt the manure pile in every meadow. And I know some people that not only want to hunt it, they want to step in it and spread it around. But not Paul. I don't know if he'll preach this tomorrow, but in that next chapter, chapter 2, God said to those preachers, I'm going to throw dung in your face. I'm going to tell you, Paul could have, if you please, throw dung in their face. But he ain't doing any of that. He's not got his eyes on them. He's not got his eyes on him. He's got his eyes on the Lord himself. And it causes that commending spirit to swell up in his heart and to swell up in his life. So much so that he tells them he's thankful for them. See, he's not just got a thankful spirit and a commending spirit. He commends them. He tells them that he's thankful for them. I wonder when's the last time. When's the last time you told that janitor that picks up around here how much you thankful for what they do? You say, well, bless God, we pay them to do that. Well, bless God, why don't you do it for that pay? You say, well, I found that candy wrapper in the floor the other Sunday night. Well, hey, you didn't see that pack of candy wrappers your grandyoung'un crammed down in the pew rack there that he got up. A spirit of joy is a commending spirit. I want to tell you something. You go to thanking people, and I mean genuine. I'm talking about genuine because down there in verse 8, he said, God is my record. He ain't saying something just because the preacher's listening. He's not saying something just because somebody else is listening. Oh, he knows God's listening. He says, God is my record. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ, in the sincere love, in the sincere passion of Jesus Christ is what he's talking about. He means it. When Paul says, I thank God for you, I appreciate you, he means it. He means it. He means it. I tell you what I believe that did. In fact, I know it. I can see Paul getting up from praying. I want you to know I appreciate you. I know you're doing your job. I know you're doing your job, but it's all right. God's got me here, and everything's going to be all right. Can you imagine when he goes back to the guardhouse to get his bucking pail and go to the house? He said, have you guarded that, Paul, yet? You know what he told me today? He told me he is thankful for me. He told me he appreciated me. Don't you know that got to working on him in the middle of the night? Don't you know he said, hey, if it's all right, I'll take your shift today. I'll guard that old preacher. Oh, my. It stirred something in the heart of a lost Roman soldier. And when this crowd gets the letter, when Epaphroditus takes it back, and this crowd at Philippi get the letter, it goes to stirring something up in their heart. and in their soul. And I just happen to believe that if God's using it to stir something up in the Roman soldier that's lost and in that crowd back yonder at Philippi, that saints that saved, if God stirs something up in them because Paul is thanking them, I don't believe Paul, bless your heart, got left out. I believe God stirred in Paul's heart and in Paul's life. God, help us. You and I don't have to settle for happiness. We can enjoy the joy of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And if you do do so, it may not be in a loud shout in the service, but there'll be a spirit of service after the service when nobody's around and nobody sees. And you'll go to praying for people. God will put somebody on your heart when nobody's around, and you'll pray, and you'll have a desire to come in, and you'll have a confident assurance in God. See, the world's trying to tell us what happiness looks like, and the world's trying even to tell us what joy looks like. I tell you what the Holy Ghost has Paul do. He has Paul tell us what joy looks like. There's a spirit to it. I pray we'd have it. Oh, Father, we've heard enough truth today to save the world. And Father, we've heard enough truth today to, God, draw us unto you like never before. Oh, God, make us mindful of your word. Lord, may when the meeting's over, Lord, I pray at the end of this service, God, I pray nobody have to say, well, what did the Holy Ghost say? What did he say? I pray, God, nobody leaves saying, yea, hath God said? Did he say, that? Oh, God, I pray we'd heed your truth. Father, thank you enough that you care enough, rather, about us to send your word by this day to our hearts and our lives. Keep your hand on this meeting, that you'd be honored, that you'd be glorified. Help us to have your spirit, the spirit of joy. Let's stand together.